Welcome to SDPB's Teacher Talk, where two teachers and a journalist explore what it means to choose teaching as a profession. I'm the journalist, Lori Walsh. Before we get to today's conversation, a little more about our Teacher Talk educators. Jackie Wilbur is a faculty member at the University of South Dakota and director of the Center for Student and Professional Services in the School of Education. She's been a teacher, a librarian, and an administrator. She's also an experienced registered yoga teacher. Gina Benz teaches at Roosevelt High School and helped develop the Teacher Pathway Program. She's adjunct faculty at the University of Sioux Falls and the University of South Dakota. Here's our conversation. Jackie Wilbur is joining us from Vermilion. Hey, Jackie.
Hi, Lori.
And Gina Benz here in the city of Sioux Falls. Welcome.
Good to be here.
How's the school year going?
I gotta say, this is really good. And my classroom neighbor agrees. The kids are fantastic. Things are going smoothly. There's a sense of peace. I don't know. Is it a honeymoon period? We'll find out.
Is it no phones?
Maybe. Probably.
Could be. Anecdotal. Too early to tell.
Yeah.
However, you are noticing something.
It's been a really good year. Now, I am exhausted. Mm-hmm. I haven't built up my stamina yet. But
how long does that take?
Yeah, because I said that the last podcast. I need to.
No, I mean for like a new teacher. Not like I'm not judging you. Like, how long does that take for you?
Well, the older I get, I would say it's going to be 3 or 4 weeks.
3 or 4 weeks for, I feel like that as a parent, I was always like 6 weeks.
Sure.
Before we got used to like, you know, the schedule.
Yeah, the routine. It's busier. Yeah. It's fuller.
Yeah, it's just different.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. All right. So we're going to talk about a low-stress school year.
Mm-hmm.
And boy, there's lots of things to be stressed out about in the classroom, Jackie Wilbur.
Yes.
However, it is part of every teacher's role, could you say, would you say, to create a calmer, more resilient school community, no matter the circumstances? Obviously, in normal circumstances, dealing with normal stress levels.
Yeah, great question. You know, I have encountered some folks who calm atmospheres are not very calming to them. They feel unfamiliar. And so I do want to acknowledge that like a quiet, calm space is not for everyone. But I do think having the teacher have a sense of ease about them is important.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Okay. So it's not necessarily a spa atmosphere, right?
Exactly.
That might be what comes to your mind as an adult, but it might not. It might be something else. But yeah, for the teacher to have a sense of ease and self-control.
Correct. Exactly.
All right. Let's start and just walk through some of these because I think this is such a great blog, which people can find on our website at sdpb.org/teachertalk. Almost a checklist. So I love this.
Thank you.
And it starts with acknowledging our collective stress. Let's just do that now together, shall we?
Acknowledged.
Man, it's hard.
Yeah. Life is hard sometimes.
Life is hard sometimes. Yeah. Mm-hmm. In what way do you acknowledge the collective stress, though, Jackie?
I think it's different for everyone. But for me, learning that piece about stress management, the acknowledgement piece of it, was a game changer. And so I always start there because I have found that I can make my stress more intense by refusing to acknowledge the stress I'm under, by saying things to myself like, I shouldn't be stressed, or I shouldn't be having a hard time with this, or this shouldn't be difficult. And by making expectations about the way I should feel rather than acknowledging the way I actually am experiencing life at that moment, adds more stress to me, to my own plate. And I think we all know that because we know what that feels like when we try and tell someone about how we're feeling and they dismiss it. That doesn't feel good and it makes us feel more stressed. So when we do it to our own selves, it can make things more difficult.
I think of it as if it's like the first snow and the windows open in the classroom, or, you know, you can see outside in the classroom and everybody starts running to the window. If the teacher acted like nothing was happening, but if you acknowledge that there is in fact snow and that can be very exciting, then we are acknowledging that there is in fact snow.
Right.
So, Gina, we have to acknowledge that there are certain days that are just very stressful.
Yeah.
How do you do that in the high school level?
I say it. I name it.
Yeah.
And acknowledge that it's stressful for all of us. I might give them an idea of what I'm doing to deal with the stress. That's all you can do is name it. And then the teacher is the thermostat for the room. If you think about the room's temperature, metaphorically, the temp of the room, we're going to take the temperature of this room. The teacher can be the thermostat, as Jackie just said. And if I can show the calming strategies and I can be vulnerable and honest, it keeps the temperature where it needs to be.
Yeah. So Jackie in her blog says, leaders set the tone.
Mm-hmm. And they do.
And we're all leaders.
That's the other part. I think that's something that I have come to embrace more fully just in the last couple of years, how important leaders inside of an organization who may not have a leadership title genuinely are. Yeah. And I think, Jean, I hope I've told you this frequently, but I really saw that with you when we taught together, just the way people would follow your lead by what you were doing. So I think it's important, even if you're not in an official leadership role, to acknowledge that you are, in fact, a leader inside of a school. Students are incredibly leadership focused. If there's a student that students are following, they can really make things go a certain way. Sure. So just owning the leadership role that you're in, and then realizing that you can set a tone and it has reverberating effects throughout the school community.
Yeah. I'm going to name this because last week we talked, I don't think we talked on air, but when we were done, I acknowledged that I'd been yawning like a lot while we were having this conversation. And I said, I wonder if it's because I'm really relaxed when you guys come in. Mm-hmm. And just now my shoulders just like dropped and I felt so, I haven't yawned yet. So if I yawn 5 minutes from now, I'll be like, oh yeah, that was the moment where I started relaxing.
I love
I start
that.
Yawning.
That is an honor to hear you say that. Oh,
yes.
It is.
Okay.
Yeah. Sighing, yawning, stretching. Mm-hmm. Yeah. All of that.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. You're the calming presence in my day.
Oh, that means so much. That's, it really does.
That is a compliment.
Yeah. It really is.
The thermostat has been reset. Okay. I love this because prioritize transparent communication by sending short updates. People are more forgetful when stressed. Simple communication is better.
Mm-hmm.
Genius.
Thank you. Yeah. They can't read it all right now sometimes.
Yeah.
You know, it's just too much information. We get a lot of information. Students get an incredible amount of information in a day. And I don't think, I'm not trying to be short-sighted about their ability to have long attention spans, but when people are stressed, they do shorten. So if it's a stressful time, shorter communication is better.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And reminding that they are more forgetful when they're stressed.
100%.
Gina, mm-hmm. you see, like what, because we often think, oh, we have to help these students become responsible and they should remember their assignment, their musical instrument, their practice after school. Sometimes it's okay to just remind them because they have a lot going on.
Kids do have a lot going on, and a lot of times it's for the first time. Mm-hmm. It's the first mm-hmm. time they've had a job. It's the first time they've had a schedule change in their job. It's the first time they've been on a certain team or in a certain activity.
Yeah.
So what seems like old hat to adults is brand new for them. So our job is to give them strategies, reminders, and then also ideas for how they can remember themselves.
Yeah. 15 minutes. Carve out some time on the calendar for a mindful moment each week where everyone can pause.
Mm-hmm.
Tell
mm-hmm.
me about that, Jackie. What are some of the ways that you can do that?
Yeah, I think this one definitely depends on what kind of leadership role you have. But if you're a classroom teacher, you have the ability to set your schedule for your students, at least where there's a time for a break. And so just allotting that. And if you're a school leader, you could say, you know, I'm not going to email anyone, or I'm not going to schedule any meetings for this really short window of time each week, just so that there's kind of a collective pause. When I taught at Roosevelt with Gina, I thought that the built-in reading period every day for 15 minutes really provided a space for that. We were reading, but there was no emails exchanged. There was no announcements made. It was just a collective pause. And I always appreciated that part of the day.
Glory hallelujah, don't send an email sometimes.
Right. Just 15 minutes later, you can. Mm-hmm.
Yes.
When we did the show live every day, that was one of the things. Emails would pop up from other staff members. And I was like, I don't want to be a diva. But I need you to not email me during the show.
Yes.
And they were like, well, just turn off your notifications. I was like, no, because listeners can email. And so sometimes a listener will email with a question, and I do need access to that.
Right.
And finally, that just went to the producers, and the lovely producers took care of that. Because I was like, I can't have these email notifications, the ding.
Even if
the notification is silenced, you see it pop on the screen, and you're just constantly, it was maddening.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I'm sure it was.
Yeah. Yeah.
I get that.
And a quiet wellness corner stocked with calming resources for whoever uses it.
Yep. I think this could be at any number of places in any number of school settings. But just to have a spot that's designated as a sanctuary, I think would be very helpful.
And here's something for your office, too.
Mm-hmm.
Because what do you normally stock and share with everyone if it's a stressful day?
Right.
Food, mm-hmm. right? You're going to bring food or treats or candy to cheer people up. Well, if there is a room or a place, a corner, some objects that aren't food related, that's probably, you know, a nice healthy addition.
Depends on where you're at.
Well, that is true. Yeah.
There are some schools that have what they call Zen dens, Zen den.
Yeah.
So it could be a small room that's not really getting used or a corner of a larger room where teachers can just take a moment to breathe, and the expectation is that this is not a place where you go to chat, you go to have some silence.
Yeah.
And I think for an office, for a classroom, just having a soft place to sit. I think you just yawned, Lori.
I did. 5 minutes in, my shoulders relaxed. 10 minutes in, I started yawning.
Love it. So in my own classroom, I have a really comfortable soft chair next to my desk. So if a student comes over to my desk for some help, they can sit in the comfortable chair. If a student has had a hard day and finds me during lunch or something, I'll say, you can sit here. I'm going to do my work, but take 10 minutes. Just a soft chair.
Mm-hmm. Yes, I love that. Okay, so give yourself practical support if you're a teacher or a staff member, and establish simple daily rituals. So we've got this weekly check-in. We've got a physical space that sort of lets people know we're prioritizing communication. And now we're talking about what are you doing every day? Jackie, right. What do you have in mind here?
Well, I think the practicality is the main thing I'm trying to emphasize. I think a lot of times there will be genuine issues, and then there's this idea of like just self-care your way through it, and that's not what I'm trying to say. Mm-hmm. I'm saying when you acknowledge that you're stressed, you also need to acknowledge that you're going to need to support yourself in really practical ways. So what are some things that you can do that's built into your daily routine that's going to make a big difference? Yeah. So very simple things, like for me, if I make sure that I take time to make my hair look how I would like it to look, like every morning, I am going to be less stressed about my day. And that's just me. That's not everyone else. It's not a priority for everyone else. It impacts my stress level. So I take time to do it. I also like to take time to do a little bit of stretching, because I find myself when I have more physical tension, having more mental tension. So I like to do a little bit of movement. But other people are really like, if I don't get my water or if I don't go for a walk, you know, there's things that you know as individuals what the practical, easy, go-to things are. And then just insisting that you put them in your day when you know you're in a period of stress.
Yeah. Do you have practical things, Gina, that you do to...
Jackie, does this count? For me to have a hot cup of coffee, just holding it in my hands, and I'll sip on it too, but I think the... holding it is important. Would that count?
Yes, it absolutely does. Warmth is one of the ways that we induce a sense of relaxation. So holding something warm, absolutely.
And something I notice a lot of my colleagues do.
How about a kitten? Can I walk around holding a warm kitten?
Yes. Coziness is another way. Another way that we do it.
Oh, couldn't have a kitten as a class pet, but no. Could I cuddle with a hamster or something? But I've noticed a lot of my colleagues, usually it's a walk.
Mm-hmm.
And whether that's a walk just around the halls before their planning period or outside during lunch, some sort of walking routine.
Yeah. Which brings us to, go ahead, Jackie.
Well, I was going to say, sometimes it helps to make a list of things that have worked for you. So that way, when you're really stressed, you can be like, no, walk's not going to do it. Maybe a kitten will, you know what I mean? So you can make yourself go through the list.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. You know, we've talked about this before. A well-placed comfort object for adults that isn't signaling to other people, like I used to carry my grandmother's handkerchief, which is a totally normal thing to carry, right? Mm-hmm. A handkerchief.
I love that.
But I would have it in my pocket, and then when I was stressed out, I just put my hands in my pocket, and there it would be, and I would think of her and her strength and resilience. And so it was like, you know, am I carrying a blankie to work? Maybe. But it's a very tiny, appropriate blankie.
Socially acceptable.
And, you know, she used to put it in her sleeve, right? You
of
know,
course. Like, sure. So, my grandma did, too.
Yeah, so sometimes I would just tuck it in my sleeve. But I can't use it as a handkerchief. I can just carry it around. Mm-hmm. So which brings us to planning your time, using your planning time wisely. Going for a walk.
Yes, which I would also say is a good use of your planning time to take a quick walk to mentally reset before sitting back down. Mm. But I sometimes would find myself spending my planning time doing things that didn't help me for what I most immediately needed. And then I would be upset with myself that I had not spent my time in a way that helped me out. Mm. So you don't get a large amount of planning and collaboration time. It is built into the school day, which I am eternally grateful for, but using it in a way that is strategic will help your stress level.
What is a way that you kind of regret using it as?
Answering emails. Yeah.
It all comes back to emails, mm-hmm. people.
Mm-hmm. Yep. And that's not true for everyone. Sometimes I would say today's planning period, strategically, I need to cut through these or I'm going to feel very overwhelmed. And then I would. But there would be times where I would kind of pitter-patter an email and then sort of work on a lesson and then sort of do this or that. And I always found myself frustrated at the end of those types of planning periods.
Yeah. Some people might love emails. Might, you know, time to sit down and kind of quietly go through your emails or mm-hmm. check things off the list. That might feel good to you.
Absolutely.
I think everybody in the whole state of South Dakota by now knows that I don't like emails. Although, side note, I've been getting some very, very nice emails. And so when you get all these nice emails, I get a lot of press releases in my email inbox. So that just feels like, you know, mm-hmm. fodder all the time. But yes, mm-hmm. the real emails from real people feel nice.
Yes, absolutely.
Task-like emails, do this, check this, read this, how about this idea? Those are a little burdensome for me. So, mm-hmm. so set boundaries around your emails. And mm-hmm. your grading,
yes.
Gina.
Absolutely. Yeah, Gina's the best around, at that.
Yeah. Give us a tip on how to set boundaries around grading.
Well, with everything you are thinking about assigning and grading, decide if it really is necessary. Yeah. And the bigger thing is, how often should you really grade practice? Mm-hmm. Shouldn't the grade reflect yeah. where they ended up, not where they were along the way?
Yeah, I've always liked that one, yeah. Mm-hmm. Two-minute movement or breathing breaks between lessons. Mm-hmm. You mentioned kind of stretching. I want to go back to the hair thing.
This is just a personal quirk of mine.
No, because so some folks came in, people that I know and really like, frequent guests on the show, and they were kind of just passing through the studio today on the way to another event, and they just looked so stylish and put together. And I was like, you know, there is something, I'm not being materialistic or superficial, but there is something about getting up in the morning and paying attention to the getting ready process, doing yes. your hair, putting on a nice suit or shirt or a good pair of shoes. And that is one of the first things that goes when I'm stressed out. It is whatever is the most convenient, don't have to think about it, out the door. And then I'll look in the mirror later and I'm like, that is an interesting choice that you have on your body. Well, and I don't care super much about how I look. You know, I'm not like, going, oh my gosh. But also, it's an indication that you didn't spend the time taking care of yourself. Mm-hmm. Like I got out of bed and I raced to work. Mm-hmm. So much to do. Mm-hmm. Take the time to figure out what you're going to wear.
I agree, but I also wonder if there's a little bit of difference in our professions there, because teachers are looked at all day.
Right.
And so for me, the awareness of that, I think, added to that being important to me. You know yeah. what I mean? Whereas people listen to you.
We had an event here one time, a training event with lawyers and judges came, and the law clerks all showed up to hear the judges speak, and the law clerks were dressed in the nice, I don't even know where they shop. I mean, like, very nice, professional, sharp suits. And they were young people. And all the journalists from all over the community came in. And I was like, ooh.
You could tell who was who?
There were no suits in the room. Uh-huh. So, yes. Uh-huh. Yes, I think your profession matters.
Mm-hmm. I will share what my quirk is, Jackie. Uh-huh. Yours is the hair?
Yes.
Okay, so my daughter and I have coined this term. For me, it's procrasti-cleaning.
Oh. Go on.
So, I really don't feel like I can do my work and focus on it until the things around me are in place
tidy,
and clean yeah. to where I need it to be, tidy.
Isn't that just regulating your nervous system, too?
I bet it is, yeah. Jackie.
I I've read one article about this, and it was about how this is very different for different people. And some people thrive in the chaos around them and would prefer to sort of have everything out and have access to all the things they're thinking about and in work in that. And then other people are like you, Gina, who are like, they must put everything away before they can begin on a new project.
I think it mimics what's in my head.
Mm-hmm.
Sure. So so how does it work for students? I mean, that's fine for a teacher because you can organize your classroom for your brain. But if there's a student who likes to have everything out and there's another student who that causes, you know, distraction or stress or even anxiety, how do you make room for all these different little people?
Great question. I mean, I will just speak from my own personal experience, but I found that students managed to make their desk space their own quite quickly.
Okay. Fair point. Yeah.
So, yes, you would see the students who needed everything out somehow managed to get it all out quite quickly onto their desk and seemed rather at home in short order, and others had their number two pencils lined up. But I'm also dating myself. I don't know how many number two pencils are being used any longer.
More.
So. Good. More. I love that.
Well, for my classroom, at least, because I'm encouraging having paper and pencil on the desk a lot. So if they want to doodle or whatever, rather than reach for that phone.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Pick up a pencil because your hand is kind of
ready
for something to be in it.
Yep.
A number two pencil is a great idea.
And in my procrastinating that I've already done these first 6 days of school, I've noticed a lot more eraser leftovers as I've been cleaning my desk.
Oh, that's fascinating. Okay. Talk about peer support, please.
Yes. I feel like Gina is the one who I look to the most for this, but I just think you do such a good job, Gina, of making sure that you've got folks inside of the building that you can go to for troubleshooting, for encouragement, for a quick break. And I just think that's the community aspect of it is really important. Talk about a way to acknowledge your stress. It's the easiest way for me was to run down the hall or run next door and say, Gina, I'm very stressed. And she would say, yes, I see that. And say something nice to me. And that would help, you know.
Yeah, you need your BFAW, right?
Yes.
You need your BFAW. Best friend at work.
Mm-hmm. Work. I love that. When is it? When do you know it's not helpful? Because gossip, negativity, that can bring everything down. If you're, you know, constant complaining, and sometimes that venting can be serving a purpose you think, but really it's just a crutch.
Sure.
How do you know the difference?
For me, it was a personal check-in. Do I feel better after I did it? Yes or no? And then checking with the other person too. Did I make them feel worse? That's not what I want. That's my entire goal related to reducing stress in schools is that people feel at ease in my presence. And so if I'm doing the opposite, I would very much like to know that.
Yeah, that's really good. I remember Amelia Flint, the therapist from Black Hills State University, and we were talking about phone use. And I was like, how do you know when, you know, you're looking on your phone and it's making you feel better because that's why you picked it up in the first place. And how do you know that, like, it's not? And she's like, well, when you feel good and when you don't feel good.
That makes me feel better.
And I was like, oh, there it is. Okay, yeah. The moment you're like, ugh, I don't feel good, then you probably should have stopped maybe 5 minutes ago. Okay, small victories. Celebrate and show gratitude.
Yes, absolutely. I think that it really does boost one's own morale to be grateful for the folks around you and to celebrate small victories, to think about Rebecca Peterson, the National Teacher of the Year, and her One Good Thing blog. I just think that's like a really beautiful practice at the end of every day to think about one thing that went well.
Yeah.
And put your energy into that.
All right. For students particularly,
let's
highlight some things here that you think are really important for students.
The highlighted or the heading that I have on this blog post is that students benefit from explicit instruction in managing tension. And that is the piece that I would like to highlight. When my origin story of all of this work is that I had a group of students who were in my speech class my first year teaching, and they had such stress and anxiety around getting up in front of the room to give speeches that the vast majority of my students were refusing to give speeches.
Oh, wow.
And so I realized that I would need to pivot quite quickly if I was going to get these group of students to pass. And so that's the story I told at the beginning of my dissertation research. And it's one I talk about frequently about how much stress can impact student learning. They will and can completely choose to shut down if they're too stressed. But the way I helped my students move forward from this was to teach stress management skills in a really explicit and direct way. Yeah. And that is the piece I would like to share with people. It is okay to teach students, and they need to know how to manage their own stress.
Gina, that's what you said before, but like, it's new. This is the first time that they have experienced the ACT.
If or giving speeches.
To, yeah, or giving speeches, or this very well could be brand new to them.
Yes. And so I actually invited Jackie into my classroom as a guest instructor back when she was at Roosevelt, and she taught my AP students different ways that they could calm their nervous system before the AP exam. It was so helpful. And I teach it to this day. I keep doing it.
Yeah. Did they start yawning?
Oh, yeah. Of course. Yes.
All right. Well, Jackie Wilbur, how about we close our time together with a little bit of regulation?
When you messaged me and asked me to do this, I just want you to know I felt really honored. I enjoy teaching stress management in a direct way, but it's not for everyone all the time. And so the fact that you invited me to have this space to do this, it just meant a lot. So I want to say thanks. Yeah. Wow. So this is a very simple stress management technique. And if you're listening, I invite you to do it along with us. And you'll start by simply making fists with both hands, and you'll squeeze your hands together as tightly as you can, squeeze your lower arms, your upper arms, and you can even shrug your shoulders up towards your ears. And then take a nice breath in, and then exhale and release both arms. And then I'll invite you to do that a second time, your own pace, your own timing. So make fists with both hands, really engage the muscles of the lower upper arms, and squeeze the shoulders up to the ears. Take a nice breath in. And then on an exhale, let your arms relax. And then you can just freely move your arms. We'll do that same routine with the legs now. So it's almost like you're making fists with your feet, but you can curl up your toes and squeeze the lower and upper legs. Really engage the lower half of the body. Take a nice breath in. And on an exhale, release the muscles of the legs. And when you're ready, you can do that a second time. Again, kind of gathering up the muscles of the lower legs. You can make fists with your feet as a way of thinking about it. You can squeeze the muscles of the calves, the upper legs, really engage the lower half of the body. Take a big breath in. And on an exhale, release the lower half of the body. And now you'll do this with the entire body. So you're making fists with your feet and your hands. You're squeezing the whole body, and you can even shut your eyes tight. You can really let the shoulders squeeze up to the ears. Just the whole body is a big squeeze. And take a nice big breath in. And on an exhale, release from the top of your head all the way down to your toes. You'll do this a second time. Squeeze the whole body, your feet, your hands, everything in between. You can shut your eyes tight. Take a breath in. Exhale, release. Then I'll have you do that a third and final time. So it's like you're wringing out any last tension that you didn't address. So if there's any part of your body that if you thought, oh, maybe if I squeeze my shoulder blades together, or if I moved my foot a little this or that way, do that and really let yourself wring out any remaining tension or tightness, fatigue or stress. Take a breath in. Exhale, release. And then just let yourself have a moment or two doing nothing at all. I hope you feel a little bit more relaxed. Thanks for letting me do that.
Oh, thank you.
I love that. I love when you say you're wringing yourself out. That's that's the key for me to have that imagery. And then it all clicks.
I'm more awake than I was before.
You know, isn't that interesting? Mm-hmm. I think I forget how much stress makes me tired. And yeah. if I'm not carrying it with me, I am a little bit more alert.
Yeah. Ooh, that's good to know.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you for this gift to us yes. here together.
Thank you.
Thank
and
you.
And to the people in South Dakota who are listening and beyond, of course. Mm-hmm. Thanks for doing that.
Thanks, Lori.
Thanks, Lori.
If you enjoy SDPB's Teacher Talk, tell your BFAW, that is your best friend at work, tell your administrator, tell the next generation of educators that this is a place to learn about the highs and, yes, the lows of the profession from people who love what they do. You can share, like, and rate the podcast. That helps us find our place in today's crowded audio ecosystem. Teacher Talk airs on SDPB's In the Moment Tuesdays. You can find all the companion blogs with links to the research on our website, sdpb.org/teachertalk, or just click through the podcast feed to get to our episode webpage. We are produced by SDPB's In the Moment team. Our youngerman, Ellen Kester. Our engineer is Colton Nicholson. For Gina Benz and Jackie Wilbur, I'm Lori Walsh. Thanks for listening.